You're listening to Church on the Patch Inspiration Podcast. Brought to you by Holy Fire and broadcasting from the heart of Brisbane City, Australia. Speaking today is Pastor Glenn Gehrhauser. Inspiration.
Praise the Lord. I will begin with a devotion. And what is on my heart through the worship? Now, I didn't plan to share this today. This came to me during the worship. And it's a bit of a kickstart to our corporate sharing. But what came to me is two mountains. And the two mountains that we come to in our lives and in Scripture. So if I were to call this devotion anything, I would call it two mountains. I'm going to pray, I'll lead you in a prayer, and then we'll read the Scripture. Father, I want to ask you for an abundance of grace this morning, that we can feast on your word and hear what you're saying, and be encouraged despite all of our trials and tribulations, that we would find courage in you, we would find our refuge in you, and that we would ascend your holy mountain. Be glorified, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. If we put our hands on our hearts and just pray this with me. Dear Jesus, speak to my heart and change my life. And one more prayer. Dear Jesus, speak through me. Oh, and then we'll raise our hands too. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Just pray that with me. Come, Holy Spirit. We could do better than that. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 So let's go to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. And in Mark chapter 9, we read about the transfiguration. Jesus brings up three of his disciples to this mount of transfiguration. And this mountain then becomes the mountain of God, where Jesus is glorified and he's transfigured. And I'll read part of this. This is the first mountain. The first mountain is the mountain of God. And this mountain comes first. And then after that, we see another mountain. And there's a few different gospel accounts of it. But Jesus comes down from the mountain, but he faces another mountain of an impossible situation. And the impossible situation is this demon-possessed boy, and the disciples cannot cast out the demons from this demon-possessed boy who's harming himself and afflicting himself. And Jesus talks about that if you have faith, as small as a mustard seed, you will be able to say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done for you. And there, Jesus is talking about another mountain. That mountain is the mountain of difficulties and troubles and persistent problems that we can't seem to overcome or get over. And this happens in life where many times we face a mountain. Now, in order to overcome the mountains we face, we need to climb the mountain of God. We need to climb God's mountain to overcome the mountains we face. And so let's look at the disciples and Jesus climbing this Mount of Transfiguration first. And this is where Jesus is glorified. And it also relates quite well to It relates quite well. Excuse me for a second. Can you guys still hear me at home? I lowered my... If you can hear me, maybe give me a thumbs up if you can hear me. I have this new system. I don't know. Oh, thanks, Daniel. I don't know what's happening with it. I knew what was happening with my laptop, but I can't fully figure out what's happening with the iPad. But let me go here with Mark chapter 9, verse 2. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. Then he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. So just speaking out of his fear. In verse 7, then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They kept the matter to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead meant. And they asked him, "Why do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first?" Jesus replied, "To be sure, Elijah does come first and restores all things. Why then is it written that the Son of Man must suffer much and be rejected? But I tell you, Elijah has come, and they have done to him everything they wished, just as it is written about him." Now, at the same time that this was going on, the disciples were trying to cast out a demon from a boy who was constantly afflicted. So this is the mountain of a persistent problem that doesn't go away. Now we'll read this here. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about what I did this week and some things about how to overcome. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." Now, I want to highlight that phrase, "but they could not." They were not able to bring deliverance to this boy. And so the question comes up, well, then, how can we do it? How is it possible? And then Jesus here, we see this sigh of his that comes out. Afterwards, in verse 19, he says, "You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied. So these are not the nicest of words from Jesus, but they are truth. "You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. And when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into convulsion. Now, this is the key to seeing people delivered. This is the key to seeing mountains removed. The mountains move at the presence of Jesus. When that demon saw Jesus, he retreated. So our real need is more of Jesus, more of his presence, that he can be seen in our lives and through our lives, because at his face, evil flees, the darkness flees. And here is what we see here. So they brought him. When the Spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Now he sees Jesus, but he's still not fully free. It triggers something. But it's as Jesus speaks and commands that with his presence and with his word, he's set free. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? And what we're going to find out is he's been like this for a long time. From childhood, he answered, it has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for the one who believes. Now, I do want to say that what Jesus is talking about is trust. Trust. This is, because when we think of belief, we're often thinking something in our head, what we mentally think or assent to. But here, Jesus is talking about trust. Trust in him and trust in his Father. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Isn't that a great statement? I think many of us would say the same thing. I know I would say this too at times. I believe. Help my unbelief. And this is a great prayer. I believe. Help my unbelief. It's the prayer of those who are being sanctified. The prayer of those who are on the road to becoming more like Jesus. We have Jesus. Jesus is in us. Hallelujah. We have the Holy Spirit. Amen. But there is more. And we know that inside there is war and trouble. And there is also our flesh which doesn't believe and doubts. And so what a great prayer. I believe. Help my unbelief. And then verse 25, when Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. Now, I do want to bring out those two things. The presence of Jesus, him shining, and then his authority and his word that is spoken that causes the demon to flee. Never enter him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately. Now, this is what we're getting at here. This is what we've been trying to get at, is this part here. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we drive him out? Why couldn't we drive this demon out? And I'm thinking, I'm applying this to all the persistent problems, demonic opposition that we face in this life, in this world. Why couldn't we drive it out? Why couldn't we drive it out? And Jesus answers with this reply. He replied, this kind can come out only by prayer. And I'll say that again. This kind can come out only by prayer. And there are some manuscripts that add and fasting. So there is a debate about that. But I'll help try to solve the debate a bit. All prayer is a form of fasting because you're denying yourself. So the two can go together. This kind can come out only by prayer. What is the type of prayer that he's talking about? It's a prayer that ascends God's mountain, just as we saw in the Transfiguration before. It's a prayer that is like Psalm 24. In Psalm 24, who shall ascend the mountain of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. He does not lift up his soul to vanity or swear by what is false. So, in Psalm 24, it's saying we need clean hands and a pure heart. This is where we're coming to the laver and we're washing. We're asking God to purify us. We're repenting, and through that we can ascend the mountain of the Lord. At the top of that mountain, what we experience is seeing Jesus glorified, seeing him transfigured. As we see him transfigured, we are also transformed, metamorphosized, changed. This is the kind of prayer that has authority and power. It's a prayer that comes from being in Jesus' presence, being on top of the holy mountain. And then after that, we know, because we've been studying Psalm 24, that this is the generation of those who seek him, that seek your presence, Jacob. And we've been studying about Jacob and looking at Jacob and how he wrestled with God and how wrestling with God is a picture of seeking God. Well, it's this kind of prayer that seeks God, that wrestles with God, that climbs his holy mountain, that sees Jesus transfigured. It is this kind of prayer that drives out the stubborn obstacles that we face, every demonic spirit that is afflicting and attacking us. Now we'll go to Matthew. And I want to, because Matthew adds something. He adds something that Mark doesn't say. He adds this part about the mountain being removed. So Matthew 17:17, "You unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." Every persistent problem, this is the answer. We need to bring it to Jesus. This is what prayer is doing. We're bringing the issue, the problem, to Jesus. Jesus rebuked the demon. It came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private. Again, here we see another aspect, another perspective of the story here. Why couldn't we drive it out? Now, this is the question we're asking throughout this little devotion. Why can't we drive it out? Why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, "because you have so little faith." And again, I want to take that word faith and put in the word trust there. Because you have so little trust, truly I say, truly, I tell you, if you have trust as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Now, what is this mustard seed? This mustard seed is what God creates. It's the faith that comes from God himself. It's the trust that comes from God himself. And when Jesus compares faith to a mustard seed, what he's saying is true faith, if it's going to be effective, needs to be humble. Humble. So this is what a seed speaks of, humility. A seed gets buried in the ground. A seed is small. But you dig up the ground and you bury the seed into the ground. And it goes through this period of being hidden, and it's humble and it's broken. And this is what prayer, true prayer, is becoming like a mustard seed. I've mentioned this before, but true prayer is becoming like a mustard seed. The mustard seed, we know, is hot and fiery, and we like to put mustard on hot dogs. In New York, one of the famous places, Coney Island. If you get a chance, Andrew, Coney Island, Nathan's Hot Dogs. And that's a very nice hot dog. Have you been there? Have you been? Yeah. Oh, not in the Coney Island one is the original one. And there they also have a very strange product that they offer, frog legs. None of the other Nathans offer frog legs, but they offer it there in Coney Island. Coney Island, Kwali, you would like this. Coney Island's nice. It's a big boardwalk, but there's all these roller coasters and Ferris wheels, and it's like an amusement park area. It's really fun. You get popcorn or different taffy and ice cream, and it's a really nice area. Well, it kind of deteriorated, and then they built it up again. The water is there. It's not really an island. It's called Coney Island, but it's not really an island. It's just what its name. And there's a famous pizza place by there too. That Gideon and I, we waited with my dad. We waited 2 hours to get a pizza pie from this place. It's so famous that we waited 2 hours for a pizza. Anyway, how did we get on that? The mustard seed. The mustard seed. So any excuse to talk about New York, the mustard seed, which is hot and fiery, but it's humble and small. And true prayer, true faith is humble. So what he's saying here is if your faith is humble, in other words, it is trusting God to move the mountain. You can't move the mountain, but you are going to come into unity with who God is. He became a seed. Jesus became a seed that went into the ground and died and was buried. And then he rose again. Jesus became a seed. He became humble. And in prayer is about becoming like Jesus in that humility, but also in the rising up in the power of his resurrection life. So prayer is about participating in God's presence. It's about becoming one with him, knowing his heart. This is the kind of prayer, not a prayer that is just us praying some beads or just saying the same thing over and over. In prayer, you will say things over and over, but it must come from the spirit and from the heart rather than vain repetitions like the Pharisees prayed. So prayer is about seeing Jesus, becoming like Jesus, that humility. That causes the mountains to remove. We also need, we have that humility. At the same time with the humility, we need to know our authority, like Jesus, to command the darkness to leave. So this brings me to what I did this week. This week, I wanted to spend time with the family because it's school holidays. And I did get to have a great time with Valerie this week. We went to the Lego exhibit in South Bank at the Queensland Museum, and we saw all the dinosaur Legos, and it was really fun. We had a special time there on Monday, and good memories from that. But I knew that God was calling me. A few weeks ago, I saw that as a congregation and in our lives, we were going through some stubborn problems which were not moving. Mountains. I was seeing mountains. I'm not saying I see all the mountains gone, but I was seeing mountains. And I was praying, Lord, what do I do about this? And the Lord spoke to me, come up to me. I want you to take 3 days and nights. Lock yourself into the center. Let people know what you're doing. And I want you to seek my face and spend time with me. And the main thing that God put on my heart was for breakthrough. And by that, I'm meaning these stubborn mountains being removed. So praying for breakthrough. There's a lot of areas in Anna and I's life and our family that we need breakthrough. And God was saying, come up, spend some time with me. Again, I would have liked to spend time in the with the family, but I knew God was calling me, and I wanted to be obedient to him. And so I locked myself in the center. In the afternoon, I did go out for some fresh air and some inspiration. I find it inspirational. Go out and sit by the river. Yeah, I didn't get a hot dog, but I got a latte. And be out there. And I was reminded of Ezekiel praying by the river Kibar, and he had the vision of God's glory. In my heart, I'm trying to express what was in my heart while I was praying. There was a lot of pain there. And the pain comes from seeing all the opposition we're going through and the need for breakthrough and the need for deliverance and the need for God to come through. And so I was continually bringing things before the Lord. I was praying for you guys by name. And when I was near South Bank area, and I was praying for you because I know you're in that area. And just continually seeking the Lord, also listening to him and writing what he was saying. Sometimes my prayers are just tears. There's no way I feel that I could solve the problem. I look at all the people walking back and forth in Brisbane City that need the Lord, and I feel that I'm so insignificant and so small. And so I just weep before God and ask that God would come and help and deliver and pray something like Hoshea, which is come save, where we also get Hoshana, Hosanna. And it's just, Lord, come save. It's just one word in the Hebrew. You find it in the Psalms. Hoshea, Hoshea. And this call for God to come and save and come and deliver. Somebody asked me last night, we were at the going away party. And at that going away party, someone asked me, do you like Australia? Which for me is a loaded question. Because I did not come to Australia because I, quote unquote, like Australia. I came to Australia because God put a love in my heart for Australia. And he sent me here. And I came out of obedience. But I have wrestled with that many times. But I know that I want to be in the center of God's will. And I love the people of Australia, but it's not like when people say, oh, I like Australia or I love Australia. This is a different type of love. This is not the love that, you know, oh, everything is so great in our country and so I love it. It's a love that comes from God. So I didn't know how to respond at first, but then I was able to express what was in my heart because I've been asked that question many times, and sometimes I haven't been able to fully express what was in my heart. So my response was this. I said, my heart aches for Australia. I said, my heart aches for Australia. I'm in continual pain and sorrow for this nation and the people of this nation. And they need God. We need God. The church needs God. The body of Christ is broken. We hear the word, but we don't seem to hear the word. And we have all these issues. What's it going to take for our nation to be set free and delivered? It's going to take a generation that seeks his face. And this is for every country. I know we have number of people that watch us from Pakistan, from Africa, from India, different places in America. And I want to say that the solution is through authentic prayer, this kind of prayer that I've been talking about for your nation, intercessory prayer, where our lives are laid down in sacrifice and we're crying out to God. So this is the answer for Pakistan and India and Uganda and all the different countries in Africa and every nation there is. There's that Psalm 2, it says, ask of me and I will give the nations as your inheritance. And Andrew, I would encourage you as you go to the nations, because God has blessed you in a certain way, different from many of us, where your job brings you from place to place and nation to nation. As you go into those nations, pray, Father, let me have your heart for that nation. What should I pray? And help me to ascend your mountain here and to see your glory and to know your heart for this place and to pray like that. Well, this was the Father speaking to the Son, Jesus. Ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. And we are part of that in Christ, in that intercession of asking for the nations. And so I love Australia. I do like the mountains and the rivers and the people. But at the same time, my heart aches. And I have been through so much suffering for the sake of this nation. It's been 25 years. And 25 years of just putting myself on the altar, saying every day, Lord, what is your will? What do you want? I lay down my life. What is it you're wanting to do here? The thing I could say is that there's many times that I have wanted to flee like Jonah, but God has kept on saying, stay, stay, stay. I want you to be like a rock. I thought, well, I can't do this. It's impossible for me to keep the ministry going financially, other ways. It's impossible for me. And then God says, I want you to keep on going. Trust me. And I could say from behind the scenes, I'm giving you a view behind the scenes. I didn't even know I was going to share this, but I'm just going with sharing my heart. From behind the scenes, this whole journey pretty much every week, every day has been one of a miracle and one of trusting God. Every day, we don't have all the resources we need. But thankfully, you know, we are praying. And thankfully, you're here today. And we didn't have that in the beginning. And somehow, throughout every day, the Lord has been sustaining us and keeping us. Hallelujah. The whole thing with God saying stay is what he's put on my heart. And again, this is beyond me, is that God the Father has a love for Australia which transcends my own love. It transcends our own love. It's a love that he is so persistent for Australia. He wants to win the hearts of the people of Australia to himself. And it's going to take us asking him, God, we ask for our nation. Well, this week, a lot of things are starting again. The women's prayer meeting is starting again. So that's on Wednesday. And you can consult Anna. They're going to be praying. What time do you start? 7? 6:30. 6:30, they're starting. Then Bible school starts again this Monday, which is tomorrow, so we start again. We had a great breakthrough because many of the students were really debating with for about a year of whether to get baptized or not. And they said, oh, yes, I want to get baptized. Then they said, no, I don't want to get. Yes, I am. No, I don't. And there was a big wrestling because in their families it wasn't accepted to get baptized as an adult. Well, finally, just a couple weeks ago, we had five of them get baptized. I felt that that was a major breakthrough. It was so much prayer that went into it, and it was such a glorious time. But we still have some natural needs where we need breakthrough, like Lami and Lina. They have been in the hospital for over a week. I don't know if they're home yet. Anna went and visited them. And I called Lami this week. Their little David can't breathe properly. And so he's in the hospital. And so he needs, you know, they need prayer. And then we're sending out Daniel and Diane. And they're going out on their mission. They need prayer. Anyway, I had a list of prayer needs. It was just that it was really looked like it was really like a mountain, really like a mountain. So I am believing for breakthrough for all these things. I'm still believing for breakthrough. And if there is breakthrough and God does answer your prayer, let me know. Let Anna and I know so we can rejoice with you, so that we can praise God with you. Again, Jesus said that this kind only comes out by prayer. So, praise the Lord, I was able to get away into the city, come, lock myself in, come back out. And, well, when I say lock myself in, I did have a couple times going out and getting some fresh air. But here we are. We're going to come around the communion table soon. I'm going to pray, and then I just want to open it up if you want to share something, and then I'll give the mic to you. Amen. So, Father, our hearts are to see the people in Australia saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, to know you, for their eyes to be open, for them to be delivered, and for these stubborn mountains, many of these mountains of unbelief and these mountains that are keeping people from trusting you, and these mountains that are keeping people oppressed and your church weak, cause these mountains to be removed, cast into the sea in Jesus' name. All these obstacles, and there are many of them, let these mountains be cast into the sea in Jesus' name. And let us see your glory break through. Let us see your kingdom come and your will be done in Brisbane City, in Australia, in the different towns and villages that Daniel and Diane go to, in Pakistan and India and the different countries in Africa and in America, we are believing for you to break through. And for all of us, that we would have clean hands and a pure heart so that we can go up your holy mountain and gaze on your glory and be transformed into your image. And Lord, just as each person shares here or whoever has something to share, bless our sharing. In Jesus' name, amen.